This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Virtual mediation tips for remote conflict management. How to mediate difficult conversations when everyone is on a screen. In short, remote conflict is real conflict. Virtual mediation fails most often not because of technology, but because mediators skip the preparation steps that in-person sessions handle automatically. Set the ground before you open the call, read the signals your screen gives you, and close every session with a written record. Prepare each party individually before the joint session begins. Establish clear ground rules at the very start of the call. Follow up in writing within 24 hours of every session. Definition: virtual mediation is the structured process of guiding two or more parties through a conflict using video or audio technology, where a neutral third party facilitates dialogue, manages emotional temperature, and helps the parties reach a workable resolution without meeting in the same room. Two colleagues had been in a cold war for 6 weeks. The manager had tried one video call with both of them on screen, opened with "Let's sort this out," and watched it deteriorate inside 4 minutes. One person talked over the other went silent, and the manager lost the thread completely. By the time he ended the call, the conflict was worse than before he started. He came to me asking what had gone wrong. The answer was simple: he had applied in-person instinct to remote situation, and the remote situation had beaten him. Virtual mediation is not a lesser version of face-to-face work. It is a different discipline with its own demands. If you treat it as the same thing with a screen in the way, you will fail in exactly the way that manager failed. This guide gives you the process that works. Why remote dispute resolution is harder than it looks. You lose a great deal when you move conflict resolution online. The shared physical space that in-person mediation relies on disappears entirely. People cannot read the room when they are sitting in separate rooms, and you cannot read them the way you normally would. Subtle signals of discomfort, the shift in posture, the glance towards the door, the moment when someone's shoulders drop in relief, all of it shrinks to a small rectangle on your screen. There is also the problem of equality. In a shared room, everyone occupies the same space. On a video call, each person is in their own environment, with their own distractions, their own lighting, their own sense of privacy, and their own emotional associations with wherever they happen to be sitting. One person might be in a quiet home office. Another might be in an open-plan workspace with colleagues nearby. That asymmetry shapes how safely each person can speak. Screen fatigue is real, and it compounds everything. Sustained video calls demand more cognitive effort than face-to-face conversation, because our brains work harder to process communication without the full body present. This means that by the time a conversation reaches its most important point, both parties may already be worn down. You need to plan for that. What needs to be in place before anyone joins the call? Good mediation is 90% preparation. In virtual settings, that percentage is even higher, because you cannot course correct on the fly the way you can in a room. Choose the right platform and test it. Before the session, confirm that every participant can access the video software, that their audio works clearly, and that they know how to use the basic features. A dropped connection at a critical moment can shatter trust that took 40 minutes to build. Agree on a fallback, typically a shared phone number, that everyone can call if the technology fails. Meet with each party separately first. This is non-negotiable. A private pre-session call with each participant does three things. It lets you hear each person's account without the other present. It builds enough trust that they will speak honestly in the joint session. And it lets you identify the emotional temperature before you put both people in the same virtual space. Never open a joint session cold. Set a clear time limit. 60 to 90 minutes is the maximum for a productive remote session. If the dispute needs more time than that, schedule a second session rather than extending the first. Fatigue is your enemy, and screen-based mediation drains people faster than they expect. Prepare a shared agenda. Send a simple outline to both parties before the session. It does not need to be detailed. 3 or 4 points is enough. A visible structure signals that this is a serious, managed process, not an unstructured argument with a third wheel. 6-step process for virtual mediation. Step 1. Open with ground rules, not with the problem. Begin every joint session by stating the rules clearly and asking each person to confirm they accept them. Do not assume they remember what you discussed in the pre-session calls. Say something like, "Before we begin, I want to confirm four things we all agreed to. One person speaks at a time. No recording without everyone's consent. Cameras stay on throughout our session. Anyone can ask for a short break at any point. Can you both confirm you accept those terms? Wait for a verbal yes from each person. That small act of agreement builds the first shared commitment of the session. Step 2. State your role and your neutrality. People in conflict sometimes arrive to mediation hoping the mediator will take their side. On a video call, where you cannot use physical presence to signal authority, you need to be explicit about what you are and are not there to do. Say, I am here to help you both communicate clearly. I am not here to judge who is right. My job is to make sure each of you is heard and to help you find a way forward that works for both of you. This positions you correctly and reduces the chance of either party later claiming the process was unfair. Step 3. Give each person uninterrupted time to speak. Structure the opening of the joint session so that each party has a fixed amount of time, typically 3 to 5 minutes, to describe the situation from their perspective without interruption. If you're mediating between two people who struggle to stay quiet while the other speaks, use the mute function. It is not rude in a virtual setting. It is practical management. While one person speaks, watch the other's face on your screen. Note their reactions. Are they nodding? Or is the jaw tightening? Are they leaning forward or turning away from the camera? These observations will inform how you manage the conversation that follows. For guidance on reading and managing those reactions in real time, the techniques and strategies for diffusing heated conversations apply directly to this step. Step 4. Reflect and reframe what you hear. After each person speaks, reflect back what you heard before moving forward. This is one of the most powerful tools in mediation, and it matters even more in virtual settings where people can feel unseen. Do not simply repeat their words. Reframe toward the underlying concern. If someone says, "She never copies me on emails, and I always find out about decisions last," your reflection might be, "What I'm hearing is that you want to feel included in decisions that affect your work. Is that right?" This reframing does two things. It shows the speaker they have been heard. It also translates their complaint into a need, which is far easier for the other party to respond to constructively. You can build your reframing skills further by working through how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation. Step 5. Use private breakout calls when the energy escalates. In face-to-face mediation, you can call a caucus, a private session with one party, by simply asking the other to wait in a different room. In virtual mediation, you replicate this by ending the joint call and calling each person separately in sequence. It is slightly more disruptive, but it is entirely workable. Use this tool when the emotional temperature rises beyond what the joint session can hold. Signs you need a caucus raise voices. One party going completely silent. Someone making statements that are more attack than communication. A script for calling the caucus might sound like, "I want to take a short break from our joint session. I'm going to end this call and ring each of you separately for about 10 minutes. We will reconvene afterward." Do not apologize for doing this. It is sound mediation practice, not a sign that the session has failed. Step 6. Close with a spoken and written agreement. Before you end the call, summarize the agreed points aloud while everyone is still present. Ask each party to confirm their agreement in their own words. Hearing themselves say it matters. It builds commitment. Then, within 24 hours, send a written summary to both parties. This record is more important in virtual settings than in person, because people lack the shared physical memory of having been in the same room together. The document does not need to be formal. A clear, plain language email that names what was agreed, who is responsible for what, and what the next steps are will serve the purpose. If you want to see how structured language choices can anchor an agreement, word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict has material you can adapt directly. Adapting your approach for high conflict remote situations. Some disputes arrive at the virtual mediation table already burning. Both parties are entrenched, emotions are high, and neither person trusts the other with the process. In these situations, a standard 6-step session will not be enough. Run longer pre-session calls. If a standard pre-session is 15 minutes, double it. In a high conflict situation, you need each party to feel genuinely understood before they will risk speaking in front of the other person. Do not rush this stage. Consider whether a joint session is even the right first move. Sometimes the right answer is several individual sessions before any joint call takes place. This is especially true when there is a significant power imbalance between the parties. A junior team member and a senior manager in conflict will not speak with equal freedom in a joint session unless you have done substantial preparation work with each of them first. For disputes that center on personality clashes rather than specific incidents, the tension management mistakes to avoid when mediating between two strong personalities resource is worth reading before you design your session structure. When a conflict has already fractured the broader team's ability to work together, individual mediation may need to be paired with team-level repair work. The How to Use the Deal Method to Resolve Conflicts That Are Fracturing Team Synergy approach offers a structured path for the wider work. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where virtual mediators go wrong. Most of the errors I have seen mediators make in remote settings come from treating the online environment as a minor inconvenience rather than a distinct context. The mistake: starting the joint session without running individual pre-calls. Why it happens? It feels efficient. One call instead of three. What to do instead? Always run individual pre-sessions. The joint call will be shorter and more productive as a result. The mistake: letting the session run beyond 90 minutes. Because progress feels close. Why it happens? The mediator does not want to lose momentum. What to do instead? End on time and schedule the follow-up session. People think more clearly after rest, and a rested second session will reach agreement faster than an exhausted first one. The mistake: failing to address technology issues before they interrupt the session. Why it happens? The mediator assumes the technology will work. What to do instead? Test everything 24 hours before and confirm a fallback plan with both parties in writing. The mistake: allowing cameras to be turned off during the session. Why it happens? One party claims they have connection issues, or they simply prefer not to be seen. What to do instead? Make cameras on a stated ground rule before the session starts. A mediator cannot read emotion from a black square. For disputes that escalate inside meetings rather than in dedicated mediation sessions, the strategies in how to handle conflict during meetings address that specific challenge. And if you want to catch tension before it reaches the stage where formal mediation is needed, How to Use the Deal Method to Resolve Workplace Tension Before It Escalates gives you an early intervention system worth building into your regular practice. Your pre-session preparation checklist. Use this before every remote mediation session. Work through it in order. Number 1. Confirm the video platform with all parties and send login details 48 hours before the session. Number 2. Test your own audio and video setup the day before. Number 3. Agree on a phone fallback with all parties in case the connection fails. Number 4. Run an individual pre-session call with each party, at least 15 minutes each. Number 5. Note the core concern and emotional state of each party after their individual call. Number 6. Prepare a simple 3-4 point agenda and send it to both parties before the joint session. Number 7. Set and confirm the session time limit with all parties in advance. Number 8. Draft your opening ground rule statement so you can deliver it clearly and confidently. Number 9. Prepare your corker script in case you need to pause the joint session. Number 10. Schedule time in your calendar within 24 hours of the session to write and send the agreement summary. The practice that makes the difference. Here is the truth of it: virtual mediation is a skill that sharpens with repetition. The first time you try to hold two people in conflict on a video call while managing the technology, reading their faces on a small screen, and tracking what each one needs, it will feel like too many things at once. That is normal. It gets easier. What separates a mediator who genuinely helps people from one who merely manages the call is preparation and presence. Preparation handles the mechanics so you do not have to think about them in the moment. Presence means that when you're on that call, your full attention is on the people in front of you, not on the process. These virtual mediation tips are the foundation. Build on them every time you use them, and you will earn the trust of the people who most need your help. Frequently asked questions. What are virtual mediation tips for remote teams? Virtual mediation works best when you prepare each party separately, set clear ground rules before the joint session begins, and keep sessions under 90 minutes. Use video where possible. Confirm everyone can hear clearly, and follow up in writing within 24 hours. How do you read body language during virtual mediation? Watch for microsignals due to tension, crossed arms, someone leaning away from the screen, or a person who stops speaking entirely. These cues are harder to read on a small screen, so slow your pace and check in verbally more often than you would in person. What ground rules work best for online conflict resolution? Agree on 4 rules before the session starts. 1 person speaks at a time, no recording without consent, cameras stay on throughout, and anyone can request a short break. State these rules aloud at the start and ask each party to confirm they accept them. How long should a virtual mediation session last? Keep virtual mediation sessions to 60 to 90 minutes. Screen-based communication is more tiring than face-to-face work. If the dispute is complex, schedule 2 shorter sessions rather than 1 long one. Fatigue destroys the careful thinking that resolution depends on. What do you do when technology fails during a virtual mediation? Prepare a fallback before the session starts. Agree on a phone number everyone can call if the connection drops. If disruption happens mid-session, pause immediately, reconnect, and briefly summarise where you were before moving forward. Never continue through poor audio or a frozen screen. How do you close a virtual mediation session effectively? Summarise the agreed points aloud while everyone is still on the call. Ask each party to confirm they understand the agreement in their own words. Send a written summary within 24 hours. This record matters more in remote settings because people lack the shared physical memory of the room. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.